From HanselMinutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 323, recorded live Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. This episode is brought to you by Telerik, offering the best in developer tools and support. Online at TELERIK.com. And by Franklins.net, training developers to work smarter. And now offering Gesture Pack, a powerful gesture recording and recognition system for Microsoft Kinect for Windows developers. Details at gesturepak.com. In this episode, Scott talks with Leon Gersing about empathy, pairing, and the user connection.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. And today, I've got Leon Gersing on the phone late at night in somewhere in Ohio. You're in Ohio somewhere, right?
Columbus.
Columbus. You are in Columbus. So you actually live in Columbus.
I'm in the bus.
You're in the bus. Excellent. And you are the Ruby Buddha.
Yeah.
That is a really great Twitter name.
It has many... It has a storied history, but yeah. Yeah. So I have to give credit to Jerry Numi, my business partner. He actually coined it.
Yeah. And is that like your brand? Is that like you're like .com, .org, .net, .xbox or whatever all the new domains are called?
No. It's just Twitter. It's just Twitter. That's it.
So you and I have actually spoken at two different conferences together without even realizing it, even though we run in different circles. And a couple people commented that one thing that we're both known for, and I think it's good to be known for this, is being generally pleasant and pretty agreeable and very nice online. I don't think that you've said anything mean ever. You're pretty chill. And that's not really common, like on the internet, regardless of community, regardless of language, regardless of what people say about any community. It's just so uncommon to find someone being consistently nice for more than a few months at a time. But is that something that are you mean when like the microphone is off and the Twitter handle is not turned on, or are you always nice?
Oh no, I turn into a demon. The gloves come off. I just start F-bombing everywhere I go.
Yeah.
No,
inappropriate dancing girls and swearing. Just at
exactly.
All times.
It's like an old timey, like, 50s weird kind of sexual novella come to life.
Right.
Weird.
The very worst of Mad Men.
Yes, absolutely. No, I don't. I don't particularly like the term nice.
Hmm.
Because I don't identify with the term nice. I look to be empathetic.
Mm.
Because to me, over time, so I mean, early on in my career too, for like 10, 15 years ago, you have a lot of ennui and angst and you can get caught up in that same kind of weird battle. And I was caught up in it for a while, and I kind of looked around and I was like, man, I'm not angry. Like, why, why is everybody angry? And it took a minute to just turn it on its ear and just think about that question. Like, why is everyone around me so frustrated, so angry, so afraid? And so it just kind of switched, not to necessarily being nice, but to showing more empathy and to listening more. I think the reason that folks tend to get riled up is because they're essentially shouting into a vacuum. And what they're wanting is to be validated, that what they have to say is important, and that somebody is interested. And if you keep repeating yourself over and over again and it's never sounded back, no one says, I hear you, I understand you, then it's easy to suddenly turn inward and think, well, is what I have to say real? And I think that fear kind of turns into this vitriol that we see on the web.
I had a conversation with Commander Taco from mm-hmm. Slashdot and a guy named Reginald Braithwaite, one of my, was a fan. I'm a huge fan of his in Canada, Reginwald. And Reginwald's always on Hacker News. That's effectively the commenting system for his blog because everything he writes is gold and then it ends up on Hacker News and then that's where the comments come in. And the discussion I had with Commander Taco, Rob Malda, and Reg was about criticism. And in both instances, you know, those are two communities that are known for just a level of bile that is really quite amazing. And you find yourself reading and wondering, like, what must be going on at this guy's job or this girl's company that would cause them to be so mean to other text-based beings? Yeah, and it's like, and it's funny that you mention human beings because the last three comments that I've left on Slashdot were basically, hey, I'm a person here. You know, yeah, like, I had nothing else to say other than, hi, just wanted to let you know I can hear you.
Oh, yes, I completely understand. Most times I just simply respond back. If I'm, you know, being baited, I just respond back. I mean, if your intent was to hurt my feelings, then you've succeeded. If you have a valid point, I'm willing to listen and engage.
Hmm.
I mean, because that's really the truth. The truth is that someone who's leading with anger is not being heard. If you're being heard and you feel like you're being heard and understood, it's very difficult to suddenly just react knee-jerk in anger. If you give that, you'll get it back. And that's all I'm trying to do, ever. It could be because being nice, just for the sake of being nice, just for being pleasant, for me, at least the way that those terms sit in my psyche, there's a veneer on those terms of falseness or, you know, it's almost like the notion of somebody like smiling through their anger. I don't want that because that's nothing. You're not showing me anything about who you are. If you're angry and you're legitimately angry, I will see it turn to something else. Usually that anger falls away really quickly in the face of empathy.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, it's very Yoda, but the whole anger, you know, fear begets anger is really true. I mean, ultimately there's fear underneath that in some way.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, I think you even said it on Twitter today, which kind of launched this thing, which was the hugs and or something, you know, you threw hugs in there after like a comment or something. And I went, yes, I mean, that's it right there. Because really, that's all we all want.
Yeah. Well, I posted something just kind of random and silly and inflammatory. Not inflammatory. I just made some silly post a couple of days ago about Visual Basic 6 and Ruby. Mm-hmm. And the point wasn't that they're the same. It was just that like, oh, wow, I'm still doing record sets and thing, you know what I mean? 20 years ago, you know, and
yeah.
I'm stupider for having, oh, you know, like people were like, someone sent me an invoice for their time. Like, I need those 10 minutes back. You know, here's the invoice. And I'm like, really? I mean, it's just kind of being a silly guy. So then I said, you know, I was rocking the world in VB3 20 years ago. I was seriously crushing it. And it was VB3 and I'm okay with that. But it was 20 years ago. You know, you, unnamed textual person, you were 3.
Right.
You know what I mean? You were potty training and I was crushing it. So I'm old and I get to be old now. So I'm going to sit back here and be old.
I'm going to be old and enjoy my vantage point.
Nothing wrong with that.
There is nothing. You earn that. That's, you know, that's perfect. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Just for sticking around, frankly. And then one guy was like, I hate all languages. And I was like, okay, let's hug it out.
Well, I hate all. Yeah. That was for Jay, right? Was
that Jay? Yeah. That was pretty awesome.
So Jay's beautiful, right? Yeah. Jay is from Michigan and he's incredibly smart and really, really talented.
It was a funny comment.
And he had this great comment, but that's something that he and I talk about a lot. It's just, he'll have a contrarian viewpoint of maybe something that's in the dominant culture at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's not negative. It's not negative to have experience that you've actually gained wisdom from and then turn around and share it.
Yeah. It's, yeah, no matter what it was, no matter what you're doing.
Absolutely. That's fine. It's negative when you have no concept, when you have no idea what you're talking about, when you are simply cargo culting something that you've heard over and over again, just so that you can be given a seat at some fictional table that simply does not exist.
Yeah. And it's important to remember how small our little echo chamber really is, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, someone's like, oh, you have so many thousands of followers. And it's like, you know, but there's like 8 billion people or something. I mean,
absolutely.
That's pretty small. It's like not even a village.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, Hanselman, you've got 50,000 followers. Okay, so that's like a suburb of a small Midwestern town.
Yeah.
And most of them are probably bots. At least 40,000 of them are bots. You know what I mean? It's like that episode of Star Trek when Kirk and Spock try to take over that planet that's full of mobsters.
Oh,
somewhere in the middle of the show, one of the mobsters is like, wait a second. I've only ever seen you two. And Kirk's like, no. There's like 400 guys up there. They're like, yeah. I don't think so. I'm pretty sure it's just you guys in a phaser. That's how I feel on Twitter sometimes. Like the same 6 guys. This guy, you know, he has a Mr. Burns avatar, and then there's the other guy, and everyone else is a bot. But no, I like what you said about, you're right. I've been using the word nice and kind. I always use the word kind. I started this
kindness
meme a couple
is
of
closer.
Years. Kindness is closer. Empathy is that, we nailed it with empathy. Empathy, because I started this meme a while back called "Don't give bile a permalink." Like, if you're going to be awful, at least do it, you know, like at a Bennigan's or a bar somewhere where no one's recording it. But for goodness sake, don't give it a permalink and then make it Googleable and, you know?
You can always come back to your history. I think the difference between the text-based person that you're talking about and someone like you, or to a lesser extent me, is that we're visible not only online, but we're visible in person. Like for me, this, and we were talking about this offline, I speak regionally a lot. And the reason I do regionally is because it's really one purpose. It's I have to pay a tax, which is talk for an hour. And I get to meet hundreds of developers. And most of the time, I get to pair with them. So I get to go see people and interact with them, understand them, see what they're interested in, share my stories, hear theirs. If you know a face, and it's not an avatar, it's not Mr. Burns, it's that guy who came over and wanted to just simply go have lunch and was genuinely interested in what you were doing, it's hard to be mad. That's, I think, really the difference, is that people are not necessarily engaging on a more personal level. So it's easy to just simply throw stones.
That is, you know, that is really true. I mean, it's something I'm realizing that I've always thought about subconsciously, but I've never brought it to the forefront. I mean, there's certain snarky text people with a Twitter egg as their avatar or a cartoon character or some animated GIF who all say something and then they always come with the snark.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a man or a woman. I don't know if they're English or Scottish or Indian. I know nothing about them other than they're mean or they're snarky on text. But if I've met somebody and I see that they're real people and they have a blah, even if that's a pseudonym, even if it's consistently a cartoon avatar of someone from Second Life, at least it's like humanoid and something I can somehow relate to. And then they talk about their lives. You know, it's funny when people announce that they're going to unfollow you on Twitter. It's like, oh, there's not enough tech, not enough meat.
That's fine.
It's like, wow, I don't, you know, I have other things I like to do, like gardening. You don't want my gardening tweets, you know? But I love that because it's like, follow the whole person. I want to know that you're a human and you dig other stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Well, if that's the only thing that's important, the motivation is important. The reason you choose a language, the reason that you choose a community, the reason you choose a job, it's people. It is never those underlying things. Those are things that people point to because they're easy to quantify. I took that job because of more money, or I took that job because of X, Y, and Z. Those are checkboxes that you can use in pithy conversations to a cert state, like where you are in a hierarchical system.
Hmm.
But really, when you take the job you want, when you find the job you love, or find somebody who says, you know what, I'm really doing what I want to be doing right now, and then ask them to talk about it. Within 10 seconds, you're going to hear about Joe and Ken and Scott and Matt. And you know what I mean? They're just going to laundry list all of the great people that they're dealing with and all of the lessons they're learning and all the advances that they're having in their lives, all the wisdom they're acquiring. That's amazing, and that's important. And that's just infinitely more motivational than some new title that somebody got. Nobody cares about that. They say they do. But that's backyard barbecue fodder. That's not what you're not resting on your deathbed thinking, yeah, when I turned 35 and, you know, became tech lead, that was the thing. No, it was when I wrote that code, we had that all night, you know, bug squash session, and three new features fell out of it and people loved it and we all had a great time. It's a different thing.
That's funny. The one of the best memories I have was about 15 years ago. We were working, is this now 2002? 15 years ago? We were, no, 2012? I don't even know what. It was about 15 years ago, and we were doing a website called gear.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we were using this amazing new technology called XML, and we were using it. We were using it for everything. And I honestly couldn't tell you anything other than about that project, other than we use XML.
Right.
But I could tell you we had four people working all summer long, like the hot summer, and we was the first time we'd ever taken all our desks and kind of like put them in a square.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sat there and we listened to Cake albums. Remember, you know, Cake?
Oh yeah.
Dude, we listened to Cake 8 hours a day. For like, this is my memory, of course. It's the kind of like warped memory of the summer.
It's a beautiful thing, but that's the story.
It's like 40 hours a week of nothing but Cake, and we would just sing and dance and write this stupid website. And in the end, we rocked the website. I don't even remember, you know, I'm sure it went live or what at some point. But, you know, I cannot not think about how awesome that crew was without, you know, if I hear Cake anywhere, even like Muzak version of Cake, it's like I was there, dude.
Yeah. And that's what you'll take.
Mm-hmm.
So even that example that you just gave, you mentioned XML, a small joke in XML land one time.
Yeah.
And the rest was everything else around it.
Yes. Yes.
That's
exactly.
What's interesting. I mean, the rest of this stuff is just means to an end. This is all this technology that people are fighting over right now. A year from now, it'll be something else. 10 years from now, it'll be something else. It doesn't matter. That stuff is cool. It's interesting. It fuels the conversation, but really what's at the end of the day, what people want is they want to connect, they want to be social with each other, and they want to have that reach and that impact with their audience, whatever that audience happens to be. If you're somebody who's shipping product, you want to know that you want to be as close to that relationship, to the person that's actually using the product, as humanly possible. The further away you distance yourself from that, I think you will find a strong correlation with people who are distanced from many other facets of their emotional life.
I was at a customer site, as I get to visit a lot of customers, and I was at a customer today. And this was a customer that was in business for like 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these guys had like grown up there. Like that was their first job, you know, and they're like 15, 17, 20 years later, they're still there. And this new guy was talking. And one of the things I always talk about when I'm at a customer is I asked them, who is your customer? And they would describe these big multi-level marketing organizations and these big groups and whatnot. And I was like, okay. And they're explaining the customer, and they go on for about 20 minutes. And then the new guy who'd been there 8 months was like, no. I mean, it's the mom in Phoenix who just started her own website to sell double-ended candles or whatever. I have no idea, you know. She's the customer. And because they have this system that builds websites like that. And people just kind of stared at him and they're like, oh my, you know, wow, whoa, you know, like,
yeah.
You just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, so I said, well, when was the last time anyone talked to the customer? I said, well, we talked to their account representatives and we talked mm-hmm. to their marketing guy at the multinational, blah, 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 blah. But I don't think I've ever talked to the customer. And then the guy went on this amazing soliloquy about, about the Great Recession and enabling the end user and thinking about, you know, five extra clicks could be enough to have her give up in the creation of her website and the creation of her business. And then, you know, it was pretty melodramatic, but man, it got us like totally amped about like, who is this mysterious customer? We must find them. We must find them and connect with them immediately. You know, we shall dispatch someone to Arizona to hunt her down. And it was so cool that this guy who'd not been there a long time was totally plugged into who the customer was. And the old timers had forgotten.
Sure.
Who the human being was that was touched by their deployments.
Sure. It happens a lot. It happens all the time. That's the thing I think that truly makes me sad, is listening to someone talk about the project they're working on with utter contempt and disdain and say, well, why are you even building it? Like, well, why? I mean, is there a point other than to draw a check? Because I guarantee you can draw a check just about anywhere. Why are you even doing this? Like, who's benefiting from your work? And the answer is, I don't know, some guy, or I don't know, somebody, somewhere. I don't know. So do you see anyone? Do you hear feedback? Well, you know, the marketing material comes by, and I see, like, a quote from somebody. I was like, that's it?
Right. The verbatims, they call them.
Yeah. Oh, is that the...
Yeah, the verbatims. That's like, this is what they said verbatim. It's like, really? That's, you know, like, maybe an embedded tweet.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Why do you think I visit customers so much? I mean, it's like, sometimes, not very often, but every once in a while, not in my hierarchy, like not my boss or my boss's boss, but some random dude will be like, you know, so you went and sat with a customer for like, you know, 8 hours yesterday? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I sat with them at their desk and we paired.
Yeah.
Like, is that really what you need to be doing with your time? And I'm like, oh my goodness, do you have any idea what it means to be a member of the community? Like, I Skype and pair all day. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, someone actually was Skyping me yesterday. They're like, all right, well, I'll just let you go back to whatever it is you do. And I'm like, well, you don't know what it is, but trust me, I'm talking to a lot of people. And it's funny. Sometimes I make up these archetypes. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this a little bit on the show. We have these two archetypes that I always bring up. The first one is the chief architect of the Nebraska Department of Forestry.
Ooh.
I don't know who that is, and I don't know if he exists or not, and I assume that there are no trees there.
Very important.
But he seems important, but he probably is like doing work in like access, and he can't afford our latest product. And he would really love to use the new hot stuff, but he's on access or whatever. And anytime, you know, there's something around pricing or SKUs, I'm like, dude, what about this guy? I mean, it's my way of putting a face. There's a guy, he's important in Nebraska and he does important stuff but he can't, he's got these constraints. Are we going to lock him out of our product line if we do XYZ? And sometimes you win, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. So how often do you win that argument and how often do you lose it?
If the archetype or the person or the story is real or is really put together, like convincingly, sometimes it's an amalgamation of multiple things. I'll talk to five or six people and I'll give real, you know, actual stories, or I'll say, well, here's what I'm hearing from these five people, and I think that they are representative of a larger group.
Sure.
I've talked about what I call dark matter developers. Like we know they exist. We can't really measure it. But I know they make up a large amount of space and we can't necessarily see. But I know in my heart of hearts that they're there and I'm still trying to find the measurement tool. Mm. But we can't forget those guys. And it works. I mean, if you can really look someone in the eye, even at a giant company like Microsoft, and make them understand that there is a person who is doing this work, that is much more convincing than saying, well, the guy's a Dell.
Oof.
You know what I mean? Like, that's so impersonal.
That means nothing.
Right, exactly.
That means nothing. I really wish that folks would listen to the words that come out of their mouth and that we would collectively look them back in the eye and just call them on that. Not in a mean way, but if somebody says, well, X from Dell, or like 10 levels deep of an individual person, like just referencing hierarchies of individuals, just not somebody you know, not somebody you've interacted with. Mm-hmm. If you could simply just say, I don't believe you. prove that to me, then I think you would, that would force that individual to retake some stock, to go back and actually try and actually have that connection.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I mean, I wish it was a scalable situation though. You know what I mean? Like, I wish that I could like help everyone. Like, but you know how you want to do tech support for everybody. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, sure. But I don't, and I can't, I do what I can. I do what I like to the point that it will burn me out and I'll stop for a little while.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the minute I'm got the batteries charged, I'm back out again. I am interested in what I can do here in my area with my folks. And my hope is that they would then be encouraged to do the same thing. What I'm doing when I go out and I just ask strangers to pair and I sit down and just do it with, you know, who cares? Let's just do this. There's no skin in the game for either one of us. Let's just have fun. Mm-hmm. If they go and do that and then do it again, then I hope the telephone effect happens. And then that's just normal. But right now, it's too easy to sit behind that wall and not engage and simply play defensive and just take wisecracks and shots at anything that you just simply don't understand.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You give me a lot of really interesting ideas about how I can connect people like inside the big giant corporation I work for with mm-hmm. like with reality. I always joke about the Redmond reality distortion field and I joke and I have this kind of a irritation with what I call college hires. And it's like another 40-year-old person. I'll just say guy in a gender neutral way.
Okay.
Some 40-year-old guy who got to the big giant multinational corporation when they were 20 straight out of school. They've been there 20 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've got 20 years experience. They've got 20 years experience. And you'd think that we would be like, cool, hey, we're two old guys. We've done a lot of stuff. But they think they've got it all figured out because they work for a big giant multinational and they're really high up at the company.
Sure.
And I've worked for a smattering of companies, you know, a couple years here, a couple years there. So I think I've got reality figured out. And then we don't connect on reality. Like, they've forgotten what it's like to not work anywhere else because they've only ever worked in one place.
Mm.
So I'm like, dude, you need to quit. Go and have a failed startup on our products and then come back. You know what I mean? Like, what a great experience that would be. But I'm realizing that since it's not going to happen,
mm-hmm.
I can stop complaining about those guys sucking and really just try to make sure that they connect to the human being that is using the product, because they're not going
to
quit.
That's really it. Yeah. Or even to their own ecosystem. So if they're not going to venture that far out, right? If going that far outside of the building mm-hmm. is too far, then give them an opportunity to connect with a human being on a human level directly.
Mm-hmm.
So, now I'm going to give it away for everyone. I've been giving this away anyway. So, but like, so if I
listen, this will be a good finale.
Now everybody,
break it down. Here we go.
I no longer can do this, but here it is. So for me, when I run into that challenge, my go-to was to just simply ask if we could pair, and they'll usually be resistant to it. And I say, it's okay. I got my laptop here. I'll just open it. And I just open it, and they sit down, inevitably. And I'll just start just writing the worst stuff I can possibly write. Nothing opens up somebody like feeling superior. And I don't care. Like, obviously, this is somebody who's in their bubble anyway. So, and even if they go out and they say, you know, I coded with Leon, and he's terrible. You know, my hope would be that the next person sitting next to me would go, wait a minute, I paired with him for like 4 weeks. He was awesome, you know. Oh, he did his crazy, he sucks thing to you. Oh, Because to me, that's really it. It's the guy that you, the one who's not going to go out and start a startup, the one who's not going to go out to a dev group, the one who's not going to go to a conference, the one who's not going to engage on that level, who's going to be set in their ways and not expand. That's fine. That's a choice. They're welcome to do that. But if that turns into something that becomes a cancer in their organization, in their company, in their products, in their lives, that can be mitigated. And that can be mitigated on a very small scale. And that's something that that niceness, that ability to fail in front of others, that ability to be an open person is just as infectious as the bile, as the negativity. And it's far more rewarding.
I dig that. Kill him with kindness. Kill him with empathy.
Why not? I mean, what's the difference? What have you got to lose? What have I got to lose by just showing that I'm willing to show you my worst? And if you give me an opportunity, I guarantee you I'll show you my best. And I will allow you and I'll afford you the same opportunity. There's nothing better than that. And then it's easy. Then that's somebody who calls you. You know, hey, you know, I got this problem. I was just, you know, come over here and whiteboard with me? Sure. Yeah, sure, I'll do that. You know, it's, everyone's got time for that. There's no reason why you don't have time for that.
Very cool. I'm going to let it hang right there. Thank you for hanging out.
Yeah, no problem. I had a great time.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. Leon Gersing, the Ruby Buddha. We'll see you again next week.